Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Hi. Let's go.
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Everybody, welcome back to the Everyday Saturday podcast. It's Sam Crowley. Great to have you, and I have another interview today. You know, those of you who have been following the show regularly, daily, you notice a little bit of a trend, right? Some interviews, great interviews, by the way. The Zach Crawford interview last week is blowing up from suicide thoughts to a smashing success. Zach Crawford, if you haven't downloaded that interview from last week, do it. Today, we're going to interview a guy that I have not connected with, which is odd. We're going to talk about connecting and talking about how to build better relationships. How many listeners out there in over 100 countries listen to the Everyday Saturday podcast would love to have better relationships? I think just about everybody. And we're going to talk to Larry Binet. I'm going to bring Larry out in just a second. Here's a funny thing. I've literally not talked to Larry Binet in 7 years. I met him at an event in Philly. But he's an individual who I have a lot of respect for because I see him on Facebook. I see him in social media. It's amazing. We have a lot of the same people in common. And his message is a strong one. And that's why I paid attention to Larry. And it's just one of these things, you know, when you look at somebody from a distance and it's time to reconnect with them or make an initial connection with them, you know they're rock solid. And, you know, we're really protective of who we bring into the Everyday Saturday community. So that's what we got today, building great relationships. I think this is going to be an awesome interview. Larry Binet, are you with me?
I am. Good to have. Glad to be here.
Hey, Larry, it's great to have you on the Everyday Saturday podcast, streaming over 100 countries around the world. And I'll tell you what, man, it's been 7 years. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take you back to Philadelphia, the summer of 2007. And I was at JV Alert. And the very first presenter was a guy by the name of Larry Binet. And I'm like, Larry Binet, never met him, never heard of him. What's he going to talk about? And you immediately got up and you broke the ice in the room. And there was a room full of people. And we hadn't had any presenters yet. You got up and you talked about the power of connecting. And I know your message has changed somewhat over the years now about building deeper, better business relationships, which is awesome and great content for the audience. But Larry, I remember you as Larry the Connector, and of all the people I've met, thousands of people in 7 years, I probably couldn't remember a lot of them, but I remember Larry the Connector. So it's great to have you back in here. What have you been up to? Give us the Reader's Digest version of what you're up to, Larry. What have you been doing the past few years?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, you know, I talk on the same topic, and basically from the time I met you, I started a networking invitation-only best practice group with a lot of the top business thought leaders in the world, and I've had the good fortune over the years of having the likes of Tony Robbins to Tony Hsieh, the CEO of Zappos, to Mari Smith, who's a superstar in social media, to Guy Kawasaki, to Darren Hardy, publisher of Success Magazine, to Jeff Canfield, many other amazing greats in the business world at our thought leader events where we kind of network and share best practices with each other. And that organization is called SANG, which stands for the Speaker and Authors Networking Group. And over the years, you know, when I started that, I founded it with a gentleman named Chet Holmes, who used to be Tony Robbins' business partner, and a gentleman named Stephen Pierce. And at the time, I really wasn't a famous author. I wasn't a famous speaker. I wasn't a well-known internet more. I was none of that stuff. And that really just goes to show you, and the thing I'm most proud of, I have never paid a dollar to have any of these speakers attend, including Tony Robbins. So some of these people generate, you know, $250,000 for like an hour, you know, of their time just to give a speech. And the reason why we've never had to pay anyone is there's always a lot of value created for them to come due to who was in the room, whether they would learn from someone on stage or someone in the audience, because it was one and the same, because the caliber of the people was incredibly high. I remember Les Brown years ago, I tried to convince Les to come to one of our events, and I said, Les, if you come, because I mean, he would have had like get up at 3 a.m. from where he was coming from in New York, in Albany, New York, and you know, jump on one plane to another plane to get to the West Coast for just literally a half a day. I said, but, you know, I said, you're an amazing speaker, Les, but I'll put you at, you know, at a table with some of the top internet marketers in the world who can help you. And he said that was like one of the single most transformational days of his business career. And Les is a living legend in the speaking world.
Yeah.
And what that really taught me is everyone has certain skills and strengths, but everyone else, you know, can help someone no matter what it is. And over the years, whether it was from me connecting with briefly with Richard Branson and being able to get his private email in less than 30 seconds or getting invited to breakfast with Larry King after 60 seconds, all of it comes down to what can you do for someone else? What can you give to someone else? How can you serve someone else? In Larry King's example, you know, I went out to help him raise money for his Larry King Cardiac Foundation, you know, eventually help raise some money for Richard Branson's foundation. And I've been also able to connect with the likes of, you know, Bill Clinton very quickly as well. But it all comes back to, you know, getting into someone else's world quickly and figuring out how you can help them. And so what I've learned along the way is relationships are critical, but also there's so many people that I would consider like quote unquote takers in life. And there's certain people that are givers. And you can stand out immensely by just being a giver and being a giver of value. So that's what I strive to do, and that's what I strive to teach. And that's how we basically built our SANG community based on a culture of generosity and helping each other.
Wow. Okay, so I got to dive into this one, man, because you just dropped a lot. You dropped from President Clinton to Tony Robbins to Larry King. And I'm sure there's 100 other people. So, okay, let me just dive into this because that kind of blew my mind a little bit. So when you reach out to an individual, here's a few questions, though. If I forget to ask, I want to make sure we cover these because it comes up in people I speak to all the time. They're getting into internet marketing for the first time, or they're getting into the speaking industry for the first time. Maybe they're taking a Toastmaster class and they want to get on some of the bigger stages, or maybe they want to make bigger connections. And they're getting told the same information, you know, send somebody an email, tell them they're a big fan, ask what I can do for you and things like that. And 99 out of 100 people that I speak to never, ever get a reply back, ever get a reply back. What is, how does somebody like Mrs. McGillicuddy in Lincoln, Nebraska has zero, and this is her, this isn't me talking down about somebody, has zero influence in the world, has in her mind, nothing to offer. Forget Larry King, Bill Clinton, Tony Robbins, people like that. How can she make a better connection if in her mind she's a homemaker that doesn't have anything to offer, just somebody out there in the business world, but wants to be a speaker, for example, wants to get on stages and share her passion?
Well, first of all, let's just challenge the myth that, you know, someone in Nebraska or wherever they are, whether they're a new speaker or they're a homemaker, has nothing to offer. So, number one, I do believe everyone can create value for other people. And there's a number of ways to do it. So, yeah, you know, number one, you know, maybe there's ways of just sharing on social media. You know, whether it's, you know, retweeting or engaging in conversation. You know, the way I met a lot of these influencers, to be honest with you, in the very beginning, I look back to, I'll give you a perfect example. Years and years ago, Jay Abraham, the famous marketing expert.
Yeah, yep.
And this was way, way before I had a lot of these relationships with a lot of these thought leader gurus. I got wind that he was coming to Atlanta, which is where I was living at the time, with his son, and his son was like 9 years old at the time. He was coming for a school trip in the state of Georgia. So I reached out to his office and said, hey, if I could make his stay more enjoyable, please let me know how. And, you know, we introduced him to some people, and he ended up, you know, having a tremendous visit to, like, the Science Museum. He got a VIP tour. I introduced him to a business person that I knew in Atlanta named Michael Coles, And, I've, you know, Mike was a very successful businessman who had just run and lost for state senate in the state of Georgia at the time. And anyway, I said, hey, can you sit down and just share with the 10-year-old all about the state of Georgia? And so the day before this happened, person said, hey, you know, your friend like to meet the governor of Georgia? And I was like, well, they're only in town for a day and a half. So here's the moral of the story. When I reached out to Jay, they eventually did meet the governor through this gentleman. I had no idea the guy was friends with the governor of Georgia. It literally, in my mind, I was thinking, you know, maybe I could drive them around. Mark Victor Hansen of Chicken Soup for the Soul, when Chicken Soup for the Soul was the biggest book in the world,
yeah,
I used to reach out and say, hey, can I volunteer in the back? You know, can I drive you to the airport? Can I help, you know, with books in the back, you know, table? You know, what do you need? How can I help? And it started from that years and years ago. And obviously, over time, I built a relationship, one here, one there. And then over time, I was able to introduce people to each other and connect them. But I do believe that there's a huge myth that, you know, someone in the middle of Nebraska or that's new to an industry has nothing to offer. You got to listen. And, you know, there's different kinds of, you know, currency. Someone may have a certain level of expertise and know-how, and you just got to find out what's important to other people. The other thing that you mentioned, I just did an interview literally the other day. I could tell you the only reason I did this interview, this gentleman has been so persistent over the years on staying in touch, and I noticed he commented a lot on my Facebook wall.
Yeah.
I would say that's the number one reason I granted him the interview.
Yeah.
He was incredibly persistent over a long period of time.
Yeah.
So I just want to challenge the myth. The other thing is, when you tap into what is important, I'll give you another example. The way I connected with Richard Branson, keep in mind, I didn't know Richard Branson. I had done a lot of research at that time on what was important to Richard Branson. Articles that I read were telling me he was going to give $3 billion of this corporation profit towards the environment. At the time, I found out there was an event, a small private like mastermind, taking place in the United States of someone that I knew that was going to lead it. And basically, at the time, it was going to be for CEOs of, like, you know, like Richard Branson. Not that I was playing at that level.
Yeah.
And so when I met him for just a few seconds, I said, hey, I would love to invite you or an executive from your team to this event that I thought you guys would benefit from based on your corporate initiative. And I was actually shocked that he gave me his private email. So I think at the end of the day, if you could tap into what's important for you, what's important to someone else, and then you just stay in touch with them over a long period of time, whether it's via social media, whether it's in the mail, whether it's at an event, there's a lot of different ways to go add value to other people.
That's amazing. I love that. Like, I love that you've got the courage and you've got the boldness. Is that in your DNA? Have you always been somebody that just, yeah, I don't care what people think about me. I can get 1,000 no's. Or did you grow up kind of a shy kid? Or where did you get the personality?
I'm actually fairly shy and introverted, to be honest with you. A lot of the things that I do, you know, I will reach out via text or email first, or via, you know, social media. Just depends. But yeah, I am shy and introverted. And, you know, going back to the other question in terms of like not having anything to offer, just to show you how simply you can kind of connect the dots.
Yeah.
I was watching a video the other day of Tony Robbins, and the video, which caught my interest, it said how to stop stuttering in 7 minutes. So I was curious. So I clicked on it. I watched the entire video. It was about 10 minutes. There was an executive that I know from the real estate industry. I've stayed in touch with her for a very long time from Atlanta. It's not like I talk to her or see her very often. But I know her son's got, he stutters, and he's in college. So I sent the email with the link to the video. I said, hey, check out this video. Very powerful. You know, I thought of you and your son, Ryan. Check it out. So she watched the video. She said she was in tears watching the video. Because in the video, Tony was talking to this one individual about, do you remember the first time maybe you started stuttering? What was the instance? It was when he was a little kid. And then she's like, oh, my God, I think I realized the exact time and what happened with my son. And so she forwarded over the video. But the point is, I happen to watch the video, right? It's not like you have to know Tony Robbins. I just saw the video that was value. And then I forwarded it to this individual. She found that value. So to me, all this stuff we're talking about, building deeper relationships, staying in touch, being a better connector, it's all about adding more value and creating relationship currency, relationship capital, connection currency. That's really what it's all about.
You know, it's funny.
You can get whatever you want done faster and less time.
You know, what's funny is I'm an ex-stutterer. Actually, I still stutter sometimes, but
okay.
I had a horrible stuttering problem, and I saw that same video. It's with an African-American kid, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I was in tears watching it. I actually created a video after seeing it, inspired me to create a video about how to stop stuttering, how I stop stuttering. that's funny. You're right. I can see, you know, if you're searching YouTube, most people that get on YouTube, they want to watch the video of the English bulldog skateboarding down the driveway, you know, the one that gets 50 million views. But using social media to influence the influencer, which I know is one of the buzzwords that you use, influencing the influencer, you can do something as simple as that, forwarding an email over to somebody that you know who may have a lot of connections or somebody of influence to help them out. I think that's genius.
You know, I'll give you another example. It's someone we both probably know. I saw him at an event. I noticed everyone was there, for the most part, was pitching him on doing a joint venture with him. First question I asked him was, you know, how are your kids? He says, great. I said, how's your wife? And he says, well, actually, we're going through a divorce, which I was shocked and stunned because I literally thought he had, like, the perfect wife, perfect marriage, perfect kids, the whole nine yards. And then he said, and she wants 100% custody of the kids. I was like, wow. So most people would hear that. I don't know what they would do with that, but they would hear it, maybe wish him well or what have you. I said, hey, with your permission, can I connect you to someone that I know that runs a divorced dad's network? Now, let's just say someone's in the middle of Nebraska, they hear that, but they don't know the person that runs a divorced dad network. Maybe they just found out about it. You know, maybe they could send that piece of information over to the individual. It would be incredibly helpful and valuable for that individual. Last year, I gave a speech. I was the opening speaker at one of the largest social media conferences in America. And there was a technology company in the room. There was a technology executive, VP of marketing. They run a fairly large conference for entrepreneurs, thousands of people. So she heard the buzz of the impact that I made on the conference. She goes, I would love to have a conversation with you about you doing the same thing to open our conference for all our entrepreneurs. I'm like, fantastic. So the day came when I was supposed to have a meeting with her, and she says, I got to cancel. My mom literally just went to the hospital, had leukemia. But again, I think same thing. Most people would hear it, probably wish the person well.
Yeah.
What I did is I said, well, who in my network might be able to be a resource to her? And unfortunately, my former business partner had leukemia for a long period of time. So I said, hey, can I put you in touch with his daughter? It's his daughter was the caretaker for a very long period of time, and he was very innovative on new approaches to overcoming this. And what she told me, which is fascinating, she said the conversation she had with his daughter was the single most valuable phone call she had the entire year. And that just goes back to, you know, understanding what is important to someone. Sometimes it's personal value, other times it's business value. But if you can connect with other people around things that are important to them, you can get into their world very quickly. And like I said, just, you know, build that relationship a little deeper. So when you want or need something, you have a lot of that connection.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I could tell you from being on both ends of that relationship, being the one who gets stalked online, hey, can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? And also being the stalker, trying to interview people. Just a quick station identification break. I'm chatting with Sam Crowley from the Everyday Saturday podcast, chatting with Larry Benet, the connector, connecting you to the tools, the people, the resources you need, co-founder of the speaker and author networking group, Sang. You can check it out at sangevents.com. You can get on Larry's Connectors newsletter as well as Larry Benet, B as in boy, E-N-E-T, LarryBenet.com. You can follow him on Twitter as well, at Larry Benet. So Larry, all right, now I'm going to get into stalker mode. Tell me about how you got Tony Robbins to come to Sang, because that fascinates me. He must get a billion requests.
Yeah, he does. I mean, what was interesting is at that moment in time, I think he was kind of probably new to social media. We had probably five or six different people. We had Brendan Burchard, Mike Koenig, Scott Hallman. I'm probably leaving a couple. Oh, yeah, Chet Holmes, of course, was his business partner at the time,
right?
Who was my partner. Now, what's interesting about this is my very first SANE conference had 40 some odd people. Okay. And
but that's not free, though. That's not a free event to go to. That's a big ticket item, right?
Correct. You know, people have paid as much as, you know, $4,000 to attend. Okay. And basically, the people that have attended are, you know, these are the Brian Tracys and the Jack Canfields and other leading thought leaders. You know, those are the people who come and pay. But here's the moral of the story. The time that we did our first event was in Napa. And I mentioned that, I told Chet I really would love to have Tony come. And Chet said he'll never come to something this small. There's just no way. And I said, you know what? If you give someone a big enough reason why, if there's enough value for them, yeah, you can get anyone to go. It's just a question of value. And so when you have a lot of influential people, you know, whether it's helping someone on their product launch, helping someone on their book launch, helping someone with their charity, it really just depends what's going on in their world at that time.
Right.
And it's been a number of years since Tony was at our event, but I'm just saying at the end of the day, we had a number of influential people that were strategizing with him at that moment in time. So, you know, I would tell Mike Koenig one thing. I would tell Brendan to tell him something else. I would tell Scott Holman, who was consulting with him. It was a number of those kind of things, and finally Chet Holmes was able to push him over the edge. But again, Les Brown wouldn't have come, Tony Robbins wouldn't have come. You know, we originally got Peter Bruger, who's co-owner of the baseball LA Dodgers, and he's also the owner of the NBA Golden State Warriors. And literally the way we got him, because he only flew 30 hours on a private jet just to come. Like I said, he didn't charge us his $60,000 honorarium.
Wow.
The reason was he had a book coming out, you know, like 6 to 9 months later. And I said, hey, if you come, what I'll do for you is I will connect you with all these influencers that can really support your book. He said the book launch, and eventually his book, Tell the Wind, became a New York Times bestselling book. But he did tell me that the, connecting with all these influencers was critical. So to me, that's what it is. You just got to find out what's important. What's important to one person may not be important to another. And what's important to them today may change 6 months from today. Because it's, you know, life changes, business changes. So you got to stay in touch and understand what's going on in the world.
So we've now rebranded Larry Benet from the connector to the man that owns the billion-dollar Rolodex. When I hear those conversations, man, and those stories, it's awesome because there's a tremendous amount of authenticity that has to take place because it's just you have to sift through the BS. When I look on the internet now, and I'm sure you feel the same way, and a lot of people feel the same way, you look at it, a lot of it just feels and just looks like and tastes like just a lot of BS. I'm rich. I'm sitting by the pool. I've got my laptop, and I'm uber successful. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. You strike me as an individual that's kind of behind the scenes, though. That's a really unique business model. And I know I keep saying it because it's true. At least it's the way I feel about it, that you are the individual that is actually out there putting deals together, putting people together. You're like a match.com for ultra successful business people.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's one way of looking at it, but let's go back to two or three things that are really important for everybody.
Yeah.
Number one, you mentioned authenticity. Authenticity is absolutely critical. Number one. The second thing is when it comes to connecting with other people, I think vulnerability is probably way more important than, you know, showing someone that you're sitting by the pool. Meaning, like you talked about, you were a stutterer at one point. I think it's, you know, if someone, what's easier to latch on to? Someone that talks about, you know, they've battled depression or they've overcome a bankruptcy or, you know, whatever it might be, or someone talking about, let me tell you about every single one of my accomplishments over the last 20 years.
Right.
And I just think people that are a little bit more relatable, so the more vulnerable someone is, they can share and let people in. I think that's important as well. But, and at the end of the day, you know, if it's one relationship at a time, and after you build some relationships, one of the things I like to do a lot is connect other people. I find one of the quickest, fastest ways of connecting with someone and building a high-trust relationship with someone is to really, you know, connect them to someone else that might be, you know, where 1 + 1 = 11 based on, you know, whatever their needs are and their goals and stuff like that. I was with a client yesterday, and I was talking to the CEO. He was telling me about a company that he's been trying to get into. He said he's not been able to make any headway at all with the CEO. It's a publicly traded company. And I said, well, why don't you do this? I said, why don't you introduce the female CEO to your other client, Select Comfort, who also has a female CEO.
Yep.
And I said, I bet you there'll be tremendous value. There's not probably that many women that are running publicly traded companies. And I said, those two alone, just because they're women, would have a lot to bond over. And I said, it has nothing to do with you trying to sell your product or service. It'll just be something simple that you could offer that would be of value. And he goes, you know what? Never thought about it. And so, again, it's just little things can go a long way.
Now, Larry, we're chatting with Larry Binet. You can find him online, LarryBinet.com. We're talking about how to make awesome connections. Great and just fascinating conversation today for the show. Larry, where do you call home, by the way? Where are you located? I know you're traveling right now as we're talking today, but where do you call home?
Well, for the last several years, it was Marina Del Rey, California, and I also had a place in Atlanta. And I literally just sold my place in Atlanta. And right now, I'm literally in transition. So I'll end up somewhere between L.A., San Diego, and Vegas over probably the next month to 6 weeks. So I'm not exactly sure where I'll land, but that's where I've been the last couple of years.
Why the West Coast? Why'd you choose the West Coast over Atlanta?
You know what? It was one of those things. It was like I always, wanted to, see what we liked living out in the West Coast. And one day, many years ago, there wasn't like anything holding me back. And when I was in Atlanta, and I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to go out to, I went out to LA for like a week at a time and then 2 weeks at a time. And then eventually, kind of started staying out there, obviously longer and longer periods. So that's kind of how it started.
It just kind of grew on you, huh, man?
Yeah, living in Marina Del Rey wasn't too bad. One or two blocks off. And it wasn't like I'm a beach person. I'm not, but I always enjoyed really riding the bike along the Santa Monica and Venice Pier, and the sunsets were pretty amazing and stuff like that. So it's been an interesting ride the last couple of years.
So Larry, help me out. Give us an idea for everybody listening to the show. What's on your bucket list? I mean, you've done a lot over the past 5 years. I mean, a lot of really cool stuff. What is it that you want to do this year, next year, or sometime in the near future that you haven't done yet, whether it be business and personal or maybe one of both?
I think I would love to, speak at a TED conference. I mean, I've not done a lot of traveling internationally. I want to get my book out there. It's in the first quarter of next year, and it would be wonderful to have the book and the message really take off in a much bigger way, get a New York Times bestseller. Sometimes I feel that's almost so cliche.
Yeah.
And so it's more important to me that when the book comes out, it's a message that people take and share. Very similar to like that 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. It was a very influential book that changed the way, changed paradigms on how people think. So I'd say those are just some of the things on my bucket list.
And I know you have a passion to help the homeless, helping our military vets transition back into the workforce, which I think is just an amazing passion to have, because they go out there and they risk their lives every single day. Most don't come back the same person they were, especially when they go to war, for example, and they're coming back and trying to transition into this environment that's completely foreign to what they've been in. How has that been going for you, those two passions with the homeless and our military vets here in the U.S.?
I try to do whatever I can, whether it's, copying some of them into our programs, whether it's connecting them to resources. One of the goals that I would love to do is take my connecting ability, much like I've taken with Sang, where I've brought a lot of these top-tier thought leaders together and had them share with each other. I would love to eventually pull a number of the nonprofits, and for that matter, for-profit organizations that are created to facilitate helping the military vets and helping the homeless, and put them all in a room where they could share best practices with each other. I'm literally in downtown San Diego, and I know there's a place called, I think, Father Joe's, and they're very good at helping the homeless get, back on their feet. There's a place in Phoenix, Arizona, for example, that has a very high recidivism rate where they get them back into the workforce. So there's different organizations that do great work. I just think they talk probably too much in a vacuum. And it would be great if you can get them all in a room to kind of share some of these best practices with each other. So, ultimately that's my goal, to kind of put forth, leverage some of my connecting ability to help more people that way.
That's a great example, man, of taking your passion and taking your really talent and giving back. Fantastic. Good for you, Larry, and of an awesome, awesome cause. I got one more question I wanted to ask you as well on today's show before we let you go. Tell me about the first connection, because you're an introvert, And I just think this is awesome. You're an introvert out there connecting people, putting yourself out there. I mean, and now you've got this incredible network and this Rolodex of individuals, a who's who of business people, marketers, and influencers out there. When was it that you figured out, was there a tipping point? Was there one connection you made? Was it a month, a season in your life when you said, damn, I think I got a real talent, even though this isn't, I would have never thought. Maybe you always envisioned yourself as somebody that could connect people, or maybe you didn't, but being an introvert, my guess is, not to put words in your mouth, that you would never have thought your career may take this turn in your life. When was it that you thought, I got a real talent for this? I think I can do something with this.
Well, I'll tell you two things that happened. And by the way, if anyone wants, they can go to freegiftsfromlarry.com and they can get a free white paper on literally how they can go connect with anyone and how they can follow up more effectively and be memorable. So if they want, they can just go there to the freegiftsfromlarry.com. So here are the two instances. I was selectively outsourced, I think it was April 1st, I think it was 2006, I believe. And that's a nice way of saying I was fired or laid off.
I love it. Selectively outsourced. That's awesome.
I was at an event at the Learning Annex. I had a chance to ask Donald Trump a question. I asked him how he handled adversity and pressure. He shared insights with me. The person behind me said, Mr. Trump, what would you do if you lost all your money? Trump said, I'm going to be rich. That's all there is to it. Next question. And like at that moment, there was like a light bulb that went off. And I'm like, huh, that's interesting. I'm like, you know what? I can go build relationships with anyone that I want. I realized the difference between building a relationship and connecting with a homeless person versus a salesperson versus a CEO versus a Richard Branson, it's all about the same. It's the same blocking and tackling. It's the same steps. And within, I think it was either 30 to 60 days of that conversation with Trump, I basically, I met Richard Branson, I met Larry King, and then I met a gentleman named Bill Barman. And Bill used to be the 23rd wealthiest man in America at one point. He lost his entire fortune. And at the time, when I met him, I said to him, your life would be like a Hollywood movie. He had a book out. It was just fascinating. He was talking about how he lost everything and how he came from very humble and poor beginnings, but eventually made it to the top. And I was just super intrigued by this individual. And at this little charity function at the National Speakers Association, I only had a couple minutes of time with him. And at the very end of it, I said, you know what? I said, I would love to help you, achieve, some of your goals. If there's anywhere, that I can help, please let me know how. And to my utter shock and amazement, he told me what some of his important things that he wanted to do with it. To my utter shock and amazement, I followed up with him, with an email and I believe a phone call. And then here it is. I remember having a 30-minute or a 40-minute conversation with a guy who used to be 23rd wealthiest man in America. And I volunteered. Keep in mind, I pretty much lost everything. I was starting over.
Right.
And I basically told him, I'm like, you know what? I said, you're not going to really know who some of these people are that want, you talked about people coming out of the woodwork to ask you for something. So I said, you're not going to know any of these people. But I said, me, at least I'm a person or two away. I could figure out and vet some of these people for you to see if they're the real deal, if it makes sense to do business with them or whatnot. So I figured if I volunteered to help them, having access to someone that was a self-made millionaire that thought like he did, that had that level of expertise.
Mm-hmm.
Heck, at one point, they got 4,300 employees. At one point, I think it was making over $100 million a year on personal income. And so I figured this is a pretty good guy to know. And I was willing to, volunteer some of my time. So if there was any type of moment, I would say it was that time period that really taught me a lot and allowed me to, give me that extra confidence, so to speak.
That sounds like an excellent tipping point, man. The fact that I think we've all been there, I don't say we've all been there, but especially entrepreneurs, we've all been broke, man. We've all, I quit my job, you got outsourced, but we've all been down, not out. And that's when you really start to, you just start thinking about what can I do? And the light bulb may not have gone off if you had still been in a job and went to that event, because your priorities might not have been in the same place and you might not have had that, that creative type thinking. Hey, it's an awesome story, man. Hey, Larry, let our listeners know where they can find out more about you, your systems, your strategies. Where can they keep in touch with you?
Yeah, like I said, they can either go to LarryBinet.com or they can go to the free gifts from Larry.com. We've got a white paper up there that they can, you know, an ebook where they can go learn how to connect with anyone, anytime, with ease and confidence, you know, really be more influential and, you know, follow up in very creative, you know, effective ways that will help their business. So I would say those would be the two places. And we'd love to hear their success story on online, on social media, you know, either at Larry Binet or at on Facebook at Larry Binet as well.
And there he is, Larry the Connector. Hey, Larry, thanks for coming on the show. Let's not wait another 7 years before we say hello to each other.
Yeah, worst case, let's do it every 3.5, so we'll double our productivity between us.
Great idea, man. Hey, Larry, thanks for coming to the community, man. That was an awesome interview. You brought the A-game just like I knew you would. So thanks so much for all the great content.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
You got it, pal. Take care. Everybody, that was a great Larry Binet. Check him out, LarryBinet.com. It is Sam Crowley signing off. Have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit EveryDayIsSaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag EveryDayIsSaturday.